Well, as I mentioned, as when I introduced the scripture readings, this morning I wanted to focus on some scripture readings that offer, and it may not be a different perspective on God, but maybe a perspective we don't hear as much, and that is the motherly aspects of God. Now, of course, before I say this, reminder, any human language description of God always is going to fall well short of what God truly is. But I thought these readings presented some interesting images of God, especially if you've grown up in a tradition that focused a lot on the Father God image, you know, wrathful, vengeful God. Maybe this is a nice corrective for Mother's Day. And you know, one of the first things to acknowledge about God is God is creator. God made everything. What's the first verse of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Other places in Scripture say not just that God created, but that God gave birth to all that is, and certainly gave birth to us. Isaiah says this, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, who have been born by me from your birth, carried from the womb. Even when you turn gray, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save." A reminder, God is not just creator, God gave birth to us. The Psalms tell us it's God who knit us together in our earthly mother's womb. And what's the very definition of a mother? Take away everything else. What's the probably bedrock, literal definition of mother? Someone who gives birth, the person who gave you birth. God gave us birth. Therefore, end of argument. God is mother. What other way would you describe the being who created and gave birth to everything? But I also love Isaiah says not just God made us, but God carries us. Think of the mother carrying the infant in her arms. God will carry us and bear us and maybe bear with us at times and save us. Isaiah goes on, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. You shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees." Beautiful imagery there. Now, on the surface, Isaiah is talking about Jerusalem, but not as a city, the people, the place of God. But this is prophecy. This is poetry. This is metaphor. Because this passage concludes, you may be thinking, okay, all these references to nursing and all that, it's about Jerusalem somehow. But then it concludes, "As a mother comforts her child, so I, God, will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." So you see, all this language of nursing is as much about God as about Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? It's almost, did any of you think, boy, I've never heard the word breast said in church before when this was being read. This is almost graphic, beautiful graphic imagery. "You may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, drink deeply from her glorious bosom." Now, does God have knees and bosoms and things? Well, as much as he has a long white beard, I suppose. But this is metaphor. But isn't it beautiful and comforting? "I will comfort you as a mother comforts her child." You may even remember Psalm 131, which says, "We will be like a weaned child. God will comfort us." Isn't that beautiful? God comforting as a mother comforts a child. nursing and playing on your mother's knee. That's how God treats us. Comfort and love. Now, the prophet Hosea goes on with this sort of imagery. He says, when Israel was a child, again, Israel being used in the same way Jerusalem is being used, a metaphor. It means God's children. When my children were children, God says, I loved them. I called them. But the more I called them, the more they went from me. The mother's heartbreak. I called and my children eventually have to leave home. Of course, notice Hosea later talks about the Lord with a lion's roar. And when he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. Did you ever go out and play on a summer evening? I was thinking about my mother, and I remember going out and playing in the neighborhood on a summer evening. And as it got, you know, we would be off playing kickball or whatever, you know, blocks away from home. But I'll tell you, when my mom opened that back door and said, Steve! I heard her. It was like a lion's roar. Even if I was half a mile away, I heard. Which also reminds me of when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I heard that lion's roar of my mother's voice. And boy, I'll tell you, if I heard it a second time, I knew I was in big trouble. So I listened. Even that's like a mother, the lion's roar. Of course, Hosea says, God says through Hosea, when I called them, though, at some point they stopped listening. Isn't that also like a mother? Unfortunately, sometimes we stop listening and heeding that call. But Hosea goes on, it was I who taught Ephraim, the youngest son of Joseph, the chosen. I called to Ephraim, again, a reference to us, the children. The chosen of God. I taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms. I led them with cords of kindness, bands of love. I was to them like those who lift an infant to her cheek. You ever think of God snuggling with you, even? But teaching you to walk as well? Who is it in the family that usually at least begins the teaching of the child to walk? It's usually the mother. Not to leave fathers out here or grandparents. It's God who teaches us to walk. Get up. Stand on your own two feet. You can do it. You know, come on. You can do it. And then, of course, we use those feet to go running away, as children do. But God still teaches us. And then Hosea goes on, I bent down to them and fed them. God is the one who feeds us as well. Everything we need, God gives. God makes us, cares for us, teaches us, feeds us, comforts us. Hosea goes on, my compassion grows warm and tender. And God even says, I will not execute my anger. I will not destroy Ephraim. I will not come in wrath, even though my people deserve it. That's how much I love my children. You ever know a mother who has a child and that child is just absolutely good for nothing, worthless, and you think, boy, if that was my child. But the mother still loves them. You know, even Hitler had a mother. That's how God loves us. Even when we are behaving awful, God still loves us. Again, that alone should prove God is mother. Because who else at times would sometimes love us but mother? And God does. Compassion. And yet, there is discipline. Let me go back to the end of this passage. The lion's roar, my children shall come trembling from the west when I call. Do you ever have to talk to your mom after you'd done something wrong? Maybe you were at school and you knew that phone call had been made. And when you walked in that back door, your mom was going to be waiting. Did you tremble a little, perhaps? But you knew your mom might be harsh, but she also loved you. That's how God is with us. God disciplines us, judges us, but out of love. And you know what? Never does God discipline us as much as we really deserve. I love my children, God says. All of this, I think, is summed up in that beautiful image Jesus uses in Luke's gospel. And again, he's on the Mount of Olives, coming down into that valley to go back up into Jerusalem, across the valley. And in fact, there's a beautiful church on the Mount of Olives just outside of Jerusalem called Dominus Flavit. That's Latin for, I believe, the Lord laments, the Lord cries. It's the spot where it's thought he gave this lament about Jerusalem. And he says, "Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, how often have I desired to gather your children?" Again, the children of Jerusalem, that's the chosen of God. "How often have I gathered, have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." In this little chapel called Dominus Flavit, there's a mosaic. It's a fairly modern church, but it's beautiful. It's in the shape of a teardrop there on the hill. And you go in and there's an altar with a beautiful mosaic of a mother hen with her chicks gathered underneath. Think of all that's part of that image. A mother hen with her wings, comfort and protection and warmth and the unity of bringing all the kids together. All of that is summed up in this image. God, not just as mother, but as the mother hen. As I said, all human language falls short when we talk about God. So, my point today is not that God is only like a mother. God is father and mother. God is like grandparents and cousins and friends, stranger sometimes. God is king and judge and redeemer and rock and fortress and shepherd. And we need all of these descriptions and all of this language about God because it all highlights different aspects of this amazing God we worship. So, this morning, simply a reminder of, I think, a way sometimes we don't think about God so much. God as like a mother. As loving and forceful and even scary at times as mother can be. And let me just end with this. It's not that God is like our earthly mother. It's that our earthly mother, at her best, is a reflection of God, our heavenly mother. And so, don't forget to tell your earthly mother, if you're fortunate enough to still have her with you, how much you love her today. But I would also remind you on this Mother's Day, maybe say a word of thanks to your heavenly mother as well. And wish God a happy Mother's Day. Amen.